deficit.
Bankruptcy.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And these days we're going through the Bible, of course, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And I get to comment on the Bible as I go through it because it's my show. And anyway, this is a highlight of my day, and I feel like my work begins after I have this much fun, as I really enjoy. I love the Word of God. I love the Scriptures, and I delight to spend time with it. And to make it even more fun, I get to get behind this mic and talk to other people about it. So we also have a chat room if anyone wants to take part in the study that way. I will perhaps look at the chat room during the break to see if there are any messages. So if you want to say anything about the study, you might want to hold off to just before the bottom of the hour break and take a look over there. Anyway, we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We've been going through the whole book of Corinthians, which is what we like to do here is once we pick a book, we like to go through it, with the exception, perhaps, say, of the book of Psalms, where I decided to cover it 50 chapters of it at a time, because it is such a lengthy book. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all." And that's where we finished up last week. "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." Now, Paul said, "Seek earnestly that you may prophesy," and that is to testify of the Word of God, to testify the testimony of Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah, as the authorized version says. It gives us a definition for prophecy. It says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Like I said, that from the authorized version, the authorized King James version. So we have a definition for prophecy there. So when we get instruction to prophesy, we know that it's for edification. It's not just about telling of the future. It's not just about that, but it is the testimony. So, verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." And here we have a good rule for all of you out there that are shunning the corporate church, the state church, the church of state. Basically, that's what it is. The churches have joined the state. All of the Protestants have now become evangelical, ecumenical, and have become members of the state. And so you go to a state church if your church has signed up for state benefits. Because who is your benefactor but your God? Your benefactor is your master. whoever you look to for benefits is your master. That's right. Is there another way to look at it? You know, it's when you wean yourself from the benefactor that benefactor is no longer your master. Because as long as you want those benefits, you have to do the bidding of your master. And that's what these 501c3, we've signed up as state corporation churches, have done. They have signed up for benefits. And this goes, that all these churches need to secede. That's right. They need to secede from the state so that they can have only one master, you know, because no man can have two masters. He'll serve one and despise the other. And that's what they're doing. They're despising Yahshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, because they want the benefits of their earthly masters. Otherwise, why would they have not signed up? Why would they have signed up if they didn't want the benefits? So as long as they take the benefits, that means they have to do the bidding of their master. And that's the same for people too. You've signed up for benefits, you have to do the bidding of your master. You went down, you got yourself a Social Security card, and you signed up for old age benefits and whatever benefits that come with applying for that number. Because you don't apply for the number, you apply for the benefits, and they give you the number, although they may have deceived or tricked you into thinking you needed this number for something. Well, yes, you did need the number to identify you as one of theirs, because they are now your master. You're looking to them for benefits. But throw off the benefits. You know, the scripture says, forget none of my benefits. Well, when you look to something else for benefits, then you're forgetting His benefits. We need to all repent and come out of these benefit systems where we've signed up for benefits from a new master, from an earthly master, and some from fictitious entities such as the Social Security Administration. That's not even a man. And it certainly is not a god, is it? Unless your god makes your law. Uh-huh. Yes. When you look to the law form that you hold up as the highest, you're looking at your God, the one who gave you that law. So anyway, so we leave off the corporate churches and we go home, because we can't find any unincorporated churches, or they're so sparse. It's like if I want to go to an unincorporated church where I live in my undisclosed location in the Southern Sierra foothills here, where the studios of the First Amendment Rights Media Group is, I have to travel an hour to go to a unincorporated church where they have, well, they separated themselves from the state like 15 years ago or more. And they just came out. They heard the issue and they said, hey, let's look at the Bible and see what it has to say. And say, oh, you know what? We didn't pray about that decision. Because if we had, I am sure that our God would have said, yeah, go ahead, sign up with Arnie, you know, or Gray Davis, or whoever was the governor. Let him be your God. Serve two masters, right? That would have been, if they had prayed about it, that's what God would have, that's what the Almighty would have said. My benefits aren't sufficient for you. You need the benefits of idolatry of the state. Yes, not. That is not what the answer would have been. You would have said, forget none of my benefits. And that's what it means to forget His benefits. So we're separating. And we need to, how do we conduct ourselves? You bring, as it says here, how is it then, brethren? This is the question. How do we operate in the congregation? How do we operate in our called out assembly? How do we operate in the ecclesia, be it in our living room? And we're meeting from house to house. Because as the society, as the beast, the second beast, which is the United States of America, sorry for all of you that have a hard time believing that, which spoke like a lamb, had all these lamb-like principles that it was founded on, starts to speak like a dragon, we're going to find of necessity And yes, all this incorporating the churches, this is all just part of it, speaking like a dragon, changing, morphing into this dragon-like creature, and putting off all of the lamb-like qualities that it was founded upon. We're going to find the necessity to home church. We may even find the necessity to home church in secret, as they do in some other nations. It's coming. There's just, prophecy is set in stone. The Heavenly Father revealed beforehand what would happen, and it's going to happen. The Scripture has not been wrong, and it will not be wrong. I'm not saying, I don't know how much time we have. We may have several hundred years. A lot of people don't agree with me on that. We may have a time where we can have a reprieve. Perhaps we could have a turning back. Perhaps we could have a revival. Who knows what will happen? Who knows what the Heavenly Father will bless us with? If we turn to Him, it's not going to be a national prayer day that does it, and then everybody goes back about their regular idolatrous business. No, it's putting on righteousness. That's what will change this nation. It's not writing your congressman. It's not voting for the right guy. If your life doesn't change, then nothing else is going to change. Righteousness exalts a nation. And that's why I'm preaching this message. We need to clean up our lives. We need to live pure and holy lives. We need to get on our knees. We need to confess our sins. And we need to cry out to the Heavenly Father, say, I'm tired. I don't want to do the things that displease you anymore. Help me write your law upon my mind and my heart, that I might not sin against you. Help me to do only the things that please you. So we start our home churches. And the Father, He has given us in His word here, instruction. And listen to this instruction. How is it then, brethren? How will it be? How do we operate in our home churches? In our called out assemblies, wherever they may be. Even in the, if you have an unincorporated church, a church that has come out of that and put off and repented from that system. But I'll tell you what, whenever you separate from the beast, you got to back away. I'm talking about back away. You don't turn your back on the beast, because a beast is a dangerous thing. When you come out of, whether it's a personal secession, whether it's a church congregation that is seceding, whether it's a state, it doesn't matter. See, that's just the South, could have learned a lesson there. They should have backed away, and perhaps they did. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But you need to back away slowly from the beast. That's right. You need to keep your eye on it while you're backing away until you get yourself free from it. Personal secession, same thing. When you finally repent of taking the benefits of the state, of even signing up for the benefits, because you thought you needed to, because you just wanted to work and provide bread for your family, as the Scripture says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, number one, and any man who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel, number two. So they take these two good things that you desire to do, and they deceived you into doing something evil, so that you could do good. Oh, our enemy is cunning. So when we come together, let's move on. When we come together, how is it then, brethren? And this is how it should be. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So here's the rule. If you want to come and meet in the ecclesia that I meet in, you're going to bring something with you. Every man should bring something. And if there are a few, then every one of those men need to bring a few things. Everyone should bring a psalm. Say, hey, I've got a song. Let's sing this one. So, what we do now, what they do in the corporate church, you don't bring nothing anymore, because you're going there and you want them to have it all together for you. You just show up. It's like you drive up to the drive-in movie and you just plant yourself behind somebody else's vehicle and you watch the screen and they give it all to you and you bring nothing. How is it then when you come together, every one of you, half a psalm, half a doctrine, bring something with you? That means you're active in your life, that you're meditating on the Word of God, that you're singing a psalm and making a melody in your heart to our Heavenly Father and His Son throughout the week. You're praising Him in your life and in your thought life and with song. Throughout the week, you're meditating on His Word. And if you're doing these things, you're going to have something to bring with you. And if you're not doing these things, you got nothing to bring. Why even come? So how is it then, brethren, when you come together? We're at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 26. Bring a psalm, bring a doctrine, bring whatever gift, hath a tongue, hath a revelation. If the Father reveals something to you, bring that too and share it. Hath an interpretation. Be able to give, to impart an understanding of the things that have been revealed to you. Let all things be done unto edifying. If it doesn't edify in the called out assembly, in that ecclesia, then don't bring it. We don't need confusion. You're just going to babble in unknown tongues, be they real or fake or whatever. We don't care. We can't understand it. Now, if you can bring it, and you can babble in an unknown tongue and say, here's the interpretation, well, then bring it. Verse 27, if I speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And here's, you know, I've been in these assemblies where they have, you know, everybody, you know, is, you know, you got 10 people just blah, 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 blah. And they didn't read this, did they? No, they didn't read it at all. And perhaps this ain't such a big deal, but apparently it is in some places, and apparently it was here in Corinth. So Paul's still talking about tongues. Must have been a big deal at Corinth. But he says, let it be by two or three at the most, and that by course. And do you know what that means by course? It means one at a time. That's what it means. And that by course, one at a time. We don't need 10 people going blah, 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 blah. And nobody can understand what they're saying. And then they all quit. But Paul says here, and that by course, and let one interpret. In other words, if no one's going to interpret, don't waste your breath. That's not done unto edifying. If someone comes in who's unlearned, well, they're just going to think you're nuts. And as I talked about yesterday, that's because the very thing happened to me. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, so let's get back to the meat. And we can just leave out the tongues part. So we said, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So everyone brings something. And skipping verse 27 and 28, which we just covered, the tongues thing, to 29. Let the prophets speak two or three. And let the other judge. So here's what you have. Men, heads of their families, elders, in the Word, meditating daily upon His Word. Okay? Speaking the Word to their own families throughout the week. Speaking the Word to people that they meet. Preparing a message in their heart throughout the week. Meditating on His Word, turning it over and over, comparing Scripture with Scripture, receiving revelation from our Heavenly Father. We are men. We are men of God. And we're meeting in the ecclesia, in the called out assembly. And there's two or three of us, and we know who we are. Because we love the Word of God. We love to talk about it. We love to compare notes. We love to share the revelation of His Word. We delight in it. And so these are the prophets. Remember? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahshua, our Messiah, of Jesus Christ, as it says in the Authorized King James Version. We are the prophets. It's not just the guy on the apocalypse comedy. I do prophecy, what happened in the news, and that guy raised taxes, so he must be the raiser of taxes, and he's got it all wrong. Something's wrong with his life. Otherwise, he could see the truth. Perhaps he's just straining at a gnat. I don't know what a lot of these people's problems are and why they do what they do. But I know they have it wrong because I have a template for prophecy, and what they're saying doesn't fit in with the template that our Heavenly Father has given us. So I can judge them wrong, and I know that the judgment is true because it's by His Word. So let the prophets speak two or three. So instead of the one man show up there, the prophets need to take their seat up in front, or wherever they're at, however they're seated, perhaps like a round table thing, where they're sitting there, and one will speak and the others will judge what he said. That's right. And you're going to have their words out. They're going to be flipping the pages and looking things up. They're going to find out if that what that man said is true, and the whole congregation is going to hear it. So let the prophets speak two or three. But men, you have become lazy. You just want to show up on Sunday or whatever day you meet, and you just want the man that you're paying through your not-for-profit corporation. After all, it is his job. You have a hireling up there to say the words, whatever. I like what makes me think of what Kent Hovind said about what the church that he grew up in. He said they had two pulpits, one from which the preacher preached, and the other one they had the Bible. He would walk over there and read a couple scriptures from the Bible, and then he would go back to the other pulpit and preach the message. Anyway, that thought just went through my head. It strikes me as funny when I think about it. But that's not the picture. That is not what we have here in 1 Corinthians 14. Let the prophets, let the teachers, those who are in the Word, those who testify, let them speak two or three and let the other judge. So they're supposed to be up there. Each one speaks in turn, and the others judge what they say, perhaps comment it or look something up or say, that's not quite right because of this and this and these scriptures here. And so everybody is edified. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That's right. You take turns. You practice courtesy. You're not drowning each other out. If I'm saying something and another brother, if something's revealed to him, is sitting two chairs down from me, he wants to speak up, I'm supposed to hold my peace. Try that in the congregation where you attend, or at your corporate church down on the corner of Incorporated Main Street and Governor Way down there. Okay, we'll pick up here and continue our exposition of how we're supposed to operate in our congregations when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.
My soul calls for the courts of the Lord.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, I made it back. Yes, you never know what's going to happen with live radio, and sometimes things get your attention and hold you back. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're talking about how we're supposed to act. How we're supposed to operate in our called-out assemblies, the way it should be and the way it shouldn't be. And the way it shouldn't be is that one-man show, and perhaps you have the one-man show, and then you have the orchestra and the perfect singers on the other side, and no one is able to stand up when the preacher is preaching, and, you know, if something's revealed to them. Oh, well, that's not the pattern we see here being laid down by our good friend Paul as to how we're supposed to operate. Let the prophets, preachers you could put in there, speak, two or three. Let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, Let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion. And I think basically what he's saying here is that you're subject to each other when you come together, basically. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So we hear this a lot, this phrase taken from this verse. We hear it a lot, but rarely do we hear it in the context of confusion. I mean, in the context of the scripture where it's given. And we really need to hear it in this context. We really need to develop this pattern, especially if you're going to home church. And I believe this would stop a lot of the, denominationalism that arises, a lot of the sectarianism. Because if you're sitting up there and you got, you know, three, four men sitting up there prophesying, discussing the Word of God, sharing things out of the Word of God, commenting, and they're using the book, and everyone can judge in the congregation whether it's out of the book or not. You've got to have the law of God, the Word of God, and that's the final word. That's the final say. Does what the man that is preaching, the man that is prophesying at the moment, does it line up with the Word of God? And so we have this kind of a, check and balance, so to speak, that the other ones who are as learned, more learned, or at least perhaps more learned in whatever is being discussed at that time, or they see something contrary from the scripture, they're to bring it out. And that way, you don't have a one-man show and where only one man really knows the Bible, or if anyone else in the congregation doesn't know the word, he doesn't have the opportunity to speak about it, because, you know, so they'd start pointing and the ushers would come and shut him up or kick him out or something if he speaks out of turn, because, you know, it's the one-man show, the preacher has his turn, and that's pretty much it. They don't have the opportunity, especially in the mega churches where everybody can speak. And some of them are so big that not everybody could hear you anyway. I don't see this pattern of mega churches anywhere in the scripture, because remember, they were meeting from house to house. If a congregation gets too big, perhaps you should think about splitting the congregation up, saying, you know, let's split it up. Let's keep the congregation small. We're meeting from house to house. We'll continue here. Oh, and here's a very controversial one in the spirit of the age, the spirit of Jezebel, which dominates in the church. In chapter 14, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And this is part of what some will label as Pauline doctrine to be rejected. And sometimes they love Paul and sometimes they hate him. It's where they feel that Paul gives them license that they love him, but a lot of times Paul brings in the law of God and they don't like it. And it goes back to what we talked about last time, when we talked about our Heavenly Father's kingdom government for family, that everyone has their place. Men are not better than women, just as oranges are not better than apples. They are just different, and they have their different place. And it's just as much of a burden or for a man to exercise his authority as it is for a woman to be in subjection or under obedience to her husband, because the man has to be under obedience to Christ. And when he steps out of his lawful authority, then he is as much in the wrong as a woman who rules her household. So men have to step up and be men. And like I said, even when you're in the congregation, you can't just be a slacker all week. You got to be in the Word, meditate on it. You have to sing praises and melody, and you get put off all that romantic idolatry, the idolatry of romance music that most people listen to. That's not what we're supposed to be listening to. How are you going to bring a song if all you've been singing is, some romantic song all week that you've been listening to on the radio at work? And this, you know, the pop romance idolatry song. How are you going to bring a psalm? How are you going to bring praise? You're meditating on the wrong thing all week. Turn that garbage off. Repent of that. And meditate on His Word and on praise to Him. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Let them ask their husbands at home. And well, see, this is as much an obligation for the men or the husbands. Because the husband has to have an answer. The woman is commanded to ask her husband at home. This means that the man is commanded to have an answer for his wife. The man is commanded to open the Word of God at home. If his wife has an answer, he can't put her off. He can't say, well, look it up yourself or whatever. He is commanded here to open the Bible with his wife and search it out if that's what he has to do, if he doesn't have the answer. But she is to look to him as the priest of their household. That's right. The man is the priest of his own household. And the wife is to look to the husband. And there's a lot more. That means that the wife in that way honors her husband, as the scripture says. So meditate on that one for a while. And Paul continues, it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. So if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And why is it a shame for women to speak in the church? Well, they dishonor their husband for one thing. They're not honoring their husband in his place in the kingdom government that our Heavenly Father has established for families. They're not honoring the husband, their husband, as the head of their home, as the priest of their household. That's why it is a shame. And they shame their husband by doing that. And it's the same thing that goes to the head covering. When a woman doesn't wear a head covering in the congregation and she's sitting next to her husband, she's shaming her husband. Because she's not putting herself, she's not wearing that outward sign that she is under the kingdom authority in her household, that she is usurping that authority. And you'll find that, yes, you'll have a very strong woman that is ruling in her household. And I say that to the shame of a lot of ladies and perhaps some that are even listening to this broadcast. But it's here. Now listen to what Paul says. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You want to be stupid? Then Paul says, hey, if you don't want to hear it, then you won't hear it. I can preach the message. If you don't want to hear it, I'm going to just let you be ignorant. You know, don't try to convince them. They hear the message, and if they want to go off and they want to allow their wives to rule their house, they don't want to be the priest of their household, they don't want to bring a message, they don't want to sing a psalm, they don't want to meditate on the Word and make a melody in their heart to Yahuwah, our Creator. They would rather sing romantic songs of idolatry all week long and forget about His Word. Let them go down to the corporate church. Let them go in there and be entertained. Let them go in there and have no part of it but to stare at the back of someone else's head while the entertainment goes on up there on the stage. Because they are bankrupt. They've got nothing to give. No wonder they go into these churches and practice idolatry. No wonder their Christ is still hanging on a cross, because he died for their sins, but they don't give a damn. They still want to practice their sins. They still want to practice their idolatry. And I'm not just talking about the RCC. I'm talking about all the Protestant daughters, now called evangelical and ecumenical. They've just joined themselves back to the whore. Now listen to what Paul says here after he says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You don't want to hear this message, you just want to hear it and then put it off and say, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. You know, head covering says, that was, you know, it doesn't matter what the scripture says. You know, that's just, people will look at us. Why? What would people think if I make my wife, command my wife to be under my authority, to wear the outward sign, even to the angels, that she is in submission to our Heavenly Father's kingdom government for family. Yes, what would the other people think? And that's really what it gets down to, and why most people don't worry. I mean, won't be obedient to the command here. It's because they're worried about what other people will think. It doesn't matter what our Heavenly Father commands. It doesn't matter whether we're obedient to Him or not. But what will other people think? What will the other women say? Yes, what will they say? Let's worry about that, right? Let's not worry about obedience to our Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul says hereafter. He says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And that's a powerful statement when you meditate on that one for a while. Because if people don't want to hear it, they shut their minds up, they've made up their minds. They don't care what the Word of God says. They want to hold on to their ignorance because they feel justified. If I don't know, or ignorance is bliss, let me hold on to my ignorance. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. He says, what came the Word of God out of you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And that's, I kind of skimmed over that. But listen to what Paul says here. I guess I must have missed that verse. But this is powerful. He says, you think you're a prophet? You think you have the Word of God? You think you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Because that's what he's saying. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you think you're spiritual? Let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's right. And all of these things, from head covering to how we're to operate in our assemblies that I just went through, he says these are the commandments. These are commandments. Yes, we have commandments here in the epistle. We have commandments in the New Testament. These are the commandments of the Lord. You know what Yahshua, Jesus said? He said, if you love me, you do the things I say. If you love me, you keep my commandments. These are the commandments of the Lord. I can see why people want to throw it out. Why they want to throw out the so-called, and they call it the Pauline doctrine. Some people reject outright the writings of Paul. And I'll tell you why they outright reject the writings of Paul. Because they are under the influence of the Jezebel spirit of the age. What is the Jezebel spirit of the age? You know, how could we depict that? Perhaps the Queen of Heaven. You know, any goddess worship is the embodiment of the Jezebel spirit of the age. If any man think, so I love the way that Paul ends this teaching on our conduct in the assembly, in the called out assembly, in the ecclesia, or they use the word church And I don't like to use the word church when I'm doing this type of teaching and covering this kind of ground in the scripture, because people automatically think of, you know, as we were taught when we were young, you know, you put your hands together, this is the church, this is the people, and open the doors and see all the people. You remember you did the little thing with your hands to indoctrinate you that the church is not the people. It's not the called out assembly, the separated people of our Heavenly Father, but it's the building, and there's people in it. That's right. And it has a steeple. What's that symbolic of, I wonder? If you listened to the program before this one, you'd know exactly what it's symbolic of. How did he put it? The missing member of Osiris. Just saying that makes me cringe. So, if you think you're, come on, all you out there, you think you're a prophet, you think you have the testimony of Jesus Christ, you have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, you think you do? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, and we've defined prophet by the scripture, having the testimony of Jesus Christ from the authorized version, or spiritual, any man think himself to be spiritual. There's a lot of them out there that think they're spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And in context, it's all these things that we've just talked about. These are the commandments. So ladies, you know, how do you get around that one? How do you continue to go into the congregation with your head uncovered? How do you continue to speak out in the congregation and overrule your husbands? How do you do it? Paul must have just been kidding. You know, maybe these weren't really the commandments of the Lord. And then after that, Paul says, well, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, we're going into our break here. We'll be back after the news, so don't go anywhere.
So worthy.